From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, February 13th, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
A federal judge has suspended Maine's new 3-day waiting period on gun purchases, handing gun owners' rights groups a major political victory. But as Kevin Miller reports, proponents of the law say they're not giving up.
Supporters say 3-day waiting periods save lives by preventing impulsive suicides and violence. But opponents argue that the law infringes on Mainers' constitutional rights and could prevent someone from being able to defend themselves against imminent threats, such as from an abusive partner. U.S. District Court Judge Lance Walker wrote that being able to acquire a firearm is a key part of the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. And Walker described the 3-day waiting period as, quote, indiscriminate dispossession, plain and simple. But Nicole Palmer, with the Maine Gun Safety Coalition, says courts have repeatedly upheld other states' waiting periods, some of which are as long as 10 days.
With this decision, Maine becomes an outlier because literally all of the other states who have waiting periods also had gun lobby-backed lawsuits to try to overturn them. And in each case, waiting periods were found constitutional. So
Walker's ruling means that Maine's waiting period law has been paused, at least temporarily. Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry called the ruling, quote, very disappointing. Fry said in a statement that his office is considering next steps, but will continue defending what he says is a common sense law. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Maine immunization advocates say they're deeply concerned now that vaccine skeptic Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will lead the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Caitlin Gilmay, the director of Maine Families for Vaccines, says the organization is prepared to combat misinformation.
You know, keep on keeping on telling the truth. Honestly, I mean, our trusted messengers are still our family doctors, other folks that, you know, understand the science and immunize their families. And we know that the majority of Americans immunize ourselves and our children to protect us from preventable disease.
Gilmay says action at the state level is more important than ever. Maine Families for Vaccines is monitoring 4 anti-vaccine bills in the state legislature. Nationally, Gilmay says there are roughly 600 anti-vaccination bills and that number may now increase. A beaver dam that overflowed near the Moosehead Rail Line in northern Somerset County was responsible for a Canadian Pacific freight train derailment nearly 2 years ago. And as Nicole Ogrisco reports, remediation work has now been completed.
3 Canadian Pacific Kansas City locomotives and 6 freight train cars derailed in Sandwich Academy Grant Township in April 2023. The derailment caused fuel, hydraulic fluid, and engine oil from the cars to spill into the Moose River and surrounding areas. The Maine Department of Environmental Protection oversaw soil remediation at the derailment site. Canadian Pacific replaced the culverts under the railroad crossings, according to regulators with the Land Use Planning Commission. And last summer, the freight company began work to restore the stream leading to Little Brasua Lake and the surrounding wetlands, and stabilize erosion and prevent future washouts at the site. Maine Forest Service officials and state regulators visited the site late last year and say remediation work was completed in December. And the enforcement case against Canadian Pacific has been closed. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
The state fire marshal's office says the source of carbon monoxide that briefly sent 7 people from a Kittery childcare to the hospital Wednesday was from an adjacent suite. As Patty White reports, the office says exhaust from a propane-powered saw likely infiltrated the daycare through the building's air ducts.
Public safety officials say staff at Building Blocks Learning Center evacuated the daycare after they noticed an odor and people started to feel unwell. The fire marshal's office says the adjacent suite that was the source of the carbon monoxide was under construction but did not have proper permits. The office says fire alarms in the adjacent suite were also covered. It credits the staff of Building Blocks for taking swift action and preventing a tragedy. The childcare center has been the subject of 2 complaint investigations since it opened in August of 2023. One found that the center failed to notify parents or file an incident report after a two-year-old followed a staff member outside and was unattended for an unknown period of time. The center also didn't file an incident report after a child choked on a binder clip and staff had to call 911. Another complaint investigation last year found that Building Blocks failed to notify the state after a toddler's elbow was dislocated. Other violations include incidents of inadequate supervision of children and infants sleeping with blankets and stuffed animals. A message to the owner of Building Blocks seeking comment has not been returned. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Congresswoman Shelley Pingree is calling on the federal government to lift a hiring freeze, which is preventing the National Park Service from hiring seasonal staff. Pingree says these staff members are vital to keeping Acadia and other national parks functioning in the busy summer months, including by collecting visitor entrance fees.
There's no good argument for this. You know, sometimes people think, oh, they're cutting back on employees. Good. There's too many people who work for the government. Well, not at Acadia National Park. And you don't want to stop the people who actually collect the fees and help to pay for the park.
She says losing the positions and the entrance fees will require Congress to appropriate $500 million to make up the shortfall. A local bus service in western Maine connecting Rumford, Mexico, and Dixfield will cease operations at the end of March due to lack of ridership. Molly Enking has more.
The short-lived River Valley bus had just been announced this past November. But according to Western Maine Transportation Services, the average ridership is currently just 3 to 4 passengers daily, which is not enough to keep the line viable. Barring a major upswing in ridership, bus service will end on March 28th. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Molly Enking.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, relationship advice. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.